Who wrote that song? Was that a Matt Redman, the first? Matt Redman, the pastor of his church, thought that they were getting too much into the music, I think, and not worshiping God, and so he kind of took the music away, I think, for a season, so they could get focused back in the Lord, and I think he wrote that song during that time. I thought that was kind of a neat thing. We love to sing, but we have to remember we're singing to the Lord. This morning is Father's Day. Did you fathers all remember that? We're missing quite a few fathers this morning, I'd say. But today's a day we celebrate men, and I think I'll have to ask for a little grace from the women here to start, because I'm going to start with seven reasons why it's good to be a man this morning, on the lighter side here. And the first one I have is, it's good to be a man because the lines to the bathroom are 80% shorter. It's good to be a man because we don't have to carry around a bag of useful stuff wherever we go. It's good to be a man because we can drop by to see a friend and we don't have to bring a little gift along. It's good to be a man because a week's vacation only requires one suitcase. That doesn't apply to my wife, but I wish my daughters would be here to hear that one this morning. It's good to be a man because a car mechanic tells us the truth of what's wrong with our car. It's good to be a man because we can go to the bathroom without a support group going along with us. And the seventh thing I have here, it's good to be a man because wedding dress costs $2,000, but a tux rental is only $200. God has a lot of responsibilities for those men here that are fathers for us this morning. And it's good to joke about some things. But this morning we're going to look at seven things that I think maybe we could work on as dads. And I think it applies to moms, and whether you're a mom or dad or not, I think it applies to all of us. But specifically, we want to talk to fathers this morning and how to think, what does God specifically want to teach you this morning? There's probably something in each of our lives that we need to improve on. So I'm sure one of these seven things will probably hit home with you in some way. And hopefully we can learn from a man we're going to look at in the Bible this morning. If you want to turn to Genesis chapter 6, I was going to ask if anybody can remember who we talked about last year at Father's Day. We talked about a father in the Bible. Does anybody have any clue who that might have been? Probably the one we most often talk. Very good. Fanny was paying attention last year, I guess. I wouldn't have known that either, but I checked back, and Abraham is usually a father we look at, but we're going to look at a man by the name of Noah this morning. Maybe I should have Mary come up and share, since she probably talked a lot about Noah this last week, being at the ark. But we're going to start out by looking at Genesis chapter 6, verses 1 to 7. And there's some mics on the table. Somebody wants to just pick up a mic and read those seven verses. But this is the condition of the world that Noah was living in.
Now it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, the daughters were born to them. The sons of God saw the daughters of men, and they were beautiful, and took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit will not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants on the earth in those days, and so afterwards, when the sons of God came in to the daughters of men, they were born children to them. And those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. And then the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent and the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and was grieved in his heart. Want me to read 7 too?
Yeah, go ahead and read 7.
So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things, birds of the air, for I'm sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord.
One of the things that stuck out to me in these verses is verse 5, where it says, every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil. And it says, all the time. And I had to think about that. Their thoughts were always evil. All the time, it's all they could think about were evil things. And I think what happens when we fill our minds, dads, with the wrong things, and we start thinking about things all the time, those evil things eventually become action. And I had to think about that this week. I think most of you probably know that there was a shooting in Virginia at a ball field. And a 65, 66-year-old man, I would think by that age we would have a little sense, you know, and settle down or mellow out a little bit, but was targeting Republicans. And I had to think about the things we hear in the news about our president today. Whether you agree or disagree, I think it's getting worse and more evil all the time. We have plays now that are depicting our president being killed. We have people in Hollywood talking about burning White House down and gruesome head photos. You know, they call it art. But we keep talking and talking about evil. It doesn't matter which side of the fence you're on. It seems like our nation is more divided than ever. And we see this evil, we keep talking about it. And I think eventually, when you talk about evil, it turns into actions. And I think we're starting to see that. But I do want to say that I think that we have a Heavenly Father. I really believe He intervened on what happened. Because when you have a man who's shooting 30, 40 shots with a high-powered rifle at people hiding behind chain-link fence, and nobody is hurt or nobody is killed, I think that's God intervention there. And so God has given our nation maybe another chance to regroup and look at what we're doing, what we're talking about, where our lives are going. We need to turn back to our Heavenly Father. And I think we need to be aware that this is happening in our country because it can happen in our lives as well. And I wanted you to take a look at why. Why did this evil take place? And if we go back to verse 2, it says that the sons of God went to daughters of men and had children by them. Now, we don't exactly understand what's going on in these verses. Who are these Nephilim? Nephilim, did I say that right? But some scholars believe that they were fallen angels that were cast out of heaven with Satan, angels who had rebelled against God, who had come to earth and intermarried with the people of the earth. And some scholars would say that it was a godly line of Seth that was intermingled with the ungodly line of Cain. But no matter what was happening, we understand that there was an unholy alliance. Godly people were marrying ungodly people, and they were being corrupted to the point where the whole earth pretty much was evil. And so what can we learn from this scripture? It doesn't talk about Noah in this scripture, but I think there's some things we can learn here. What are your heart's thoughts and desires today, this morning? What were you thinking about at work this week? Dads, I think there's two things that we can learn here in these scriptures. Number one is we need to be filling our hearts with godly things. Our mind needs to be filled with godly things. What do you do with your spare time? Do you have the TV on all the time, watching things maybe you shouldn't, every hour of the day? Do you get on the computer and look at things you shouldn't be looking at? You know, what do you talk about at work with the people you work with? You know, are you drawn into conversation, or do you laugh at the wrong kind of jokes? What are we filling our minds with? Are you reading God's Word, Dad? Do you take time to read this every day? Do Do you spend time with God during the day, Dad? Do you talk to him when you're at work? Do you regularly fellowship with other believers? We're doing that this morning. We're gathering as a body of people who love the Lord, and we've come here to worship him. But during the week, do you ever get together with anybody else? Do you talk with a brother or sister throughout the week? Do you pray with somebody? Do you go to a small group? We need to be filling our hearts and our minds with godly things. Those are some of the things we need to be doing. And what kind of example are we for our children? When they look at us, do they see Jesus? The second thing I think we need to get, this is point number two, dads, is that we need to help our children fill their hearts with godly things as well. To do that, if we don't do the number one, I don't think we can do number two. It's pretty obvious, isn't it? But we need to encourage our kids. Who are they friends with? Are they friends with other Christians? Are they involved with church? Get them involved with your local church. Do they fellowship with other Christians throughout the week? This doesn't mean that we can't go out into the world. We need to do that. We need to be telling people about Jesus. But we need to fill ourselves first before we're able to do that. And we need to make sure that our children are filling their hearts with godly things as well. If we move on to verse 8 here then, we get into Noah. It talks a little bit about Noah here. Verse 8 says, "But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord." Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. And if we go to verse 9, it gives us some reasons, I think, why he did that. And there's some more examples for us as dads here. The first thing I see in verse 9, it says that Noah was a righteous man. Noah was a righteous man. It means he was morally upright. He was without guilt or sin in his life. Noah was still like you and I. We're not perfect, are we? At least, I know I'm not. I don't know if anybody else here is. If you are, maybe we can switch places here. I'd be happy to do that. But Noah wasn't perfect. But if we go to Hebrews, in the great faith chapter, chapter 11, verse 7, it tells us a little bit about Noah. There's one verse about Noah in Hebrews, and it says, this is the second half of verse 7, says, "By his faith, by Noah's faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith." It gives us an idea of where his righteousness came from. And I want to key in the word heir. Have you ever been an heir to anything, to an inheritance? I mean, I think if you're a Christian, you have been. But an heir doesn't really deserve what they get. They don't really do anything to get it, do they? Maybe if your parents aren't living anymore, you've become an heir because they passed on something to you when they died. That doesn't mean you deserved it, but you just, it's just something that you get. We see that Noah got righteousness from the Lord because he was an heir. And I think he got that righteousness because what we know about Noah, he was totally trusted God. He was obedient to God and he had faith in God. When God told him what he was going to do, and we're not going to read the whole chapter of 6, about building an ark, he didn't question God. He had total faith. And I think that's where some of his righteousness came from. It resulted, that faith, that love of God, that obedience resulted in God's gift of righteousness to Noah. Number three, Dad, point number three is we need to be righteous like Noah. We need to have that righteousness that Noah had. Dads, do you believe in Jesus Christ? I think all our dads here do this morning. But that means, if you believe in Jesus Christ, that your sins have been washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. And I think we all know that. But that also means that there's no guilt on our part for anything you've done in the past. Those times you've messed up in the past, God's forgiven you for those things. In fact, he's not only forgiven them, he's forgotten them. So sometimes we need to forget those things and move on too. So that we can, sometimes we get so caught up in our past that we're missing where God wants us to be right now and the way we should be serving Him right now. I think just as Noah, we can stand before God as righteous people. We can come into God's presence just like Noah, because we are righteous, just like Noah was. Another thing we find out about Noah, this is from 2 Peter verse 5. There's little verses about Noah throughout the New Testament. Not a lot, but little verses here and there that give us a clue to what kind of man he was. But 2 Peter 2:5 says, Noah, a preacher of righteousness. Are you grasping what that means? A preacher of righteousness. Not only was Noah a righteous person, but I believe he was encouraging those around him to live moral lives. Didn't seem like it was working too well as we look at the state of the world, but he was making an impact on his three sons and I believe his three daughter-in-laws. He was telling others about their need to follow God, but not too many people were listening to him. Dads, that's another thing we need to do. Number four point is we need to teach our children about Jesus Christ. That's one of our responsibilities as dad, spiritual leader of the household. We need to be telling our others how awesome Jesus is. We need to telling our children that they need to be saved as well as we are. And to do that, I'm going to get back to another thing. We need to know our Bible. We need to know our Bible so we can teach our children. So dads, that's one of the things we have to do. We have to get into God's Word. The second thing I see in verse 9 is it says that Noah was blameless among the people of his time. I believe this means that Noah practiced what he preached. Dads, guess what? We need to be blameless, just like Noah was. You know, our words don't have much impact on our kids. Little to none impact if we say one thing and we do another. We have to practice what we're preaching to our children. I wanted to give an example. Since I work at a hardware store, I thought I'd give a hardware example since I know how easy this is to do and I've done it in the past. But can you imagine if you went to the hardware store with one of your children and you bought 2 pounds of nails, but you were only charged for 1 pound of nails? And you're walking out to your car and you've just been telling your child how we're not to steal. And you've been trying to teach that godly principle. And they kind of understand what's going on. They hear you say, oh, they only charged me for 1 pound. Boy, today's my lucky day. You know, what's that teaching our children? Or dad, you say, oh, they only charged me for 1 pound. I better go in and pay for the other pound. That makes an impact. Little things like that in our lives on our kids. And I know as a dad, there's times when I've blown it when my kids were younger. And we're all going to blow it one time or another. But we need to be working at trying to be blameless like Noah was. And we can't do it on our own. We need to rely on the help of our Heavenly Father. The last thing I see in verse 9 is it says that Noah walked with God. I believe that Noah had an awesome relationship with his Heavenly Father. Scripture only mentions two people that I'm aware of where it says they walked with God. Now, Adam and Eve, it talks about God walking in the garden. It doesn't say specifically he walked with them, even though we know that happened. But two men walked with God. Enoch, do you remember Enoch? And Noah were the only two that specifically says they walked with God. And we know that Enoch had such a close relationship with the Lord that he never died. He was just there one day and gone the next. The Lord just took him to heaven while he was still living. Isn't that an awesome thing? I don't know, that's a privilege. There's not too many people that happened to. I think Elijah might have been the other one. But Noah had a really close relationship And literally, I think he walked with God. I think he walked and talked with God, just like Adam and Eve did in the garden. And Noah so trusted God that he was willing to build this huge boat in the middle of nowhere. It wasn't close to a lake or a stream or a river. Just this huge boat in the middle of nowhere. And he did it because God told him to. Guess what, dads? The sixth thing this morning is we need to be walking with our Heavenly Father. We need to be walking. And walking means that we need to be moving. We're not standing in one place. We need to be growing. We need to be learning more about our Father all the time. If you want to have a good relationship with your children, what do you do? Someone tell me.
Go fishing.
Go fishing.
Play tennis.
Play tennis with them. What else?
Eat dinner with them.
Eat dinner. Spend time with them. If you want to develop a good relationship with your kids, spend time with them. Do things with them. If you want to develop a good relationship with your Heavenly Father, what do you think you have to do?
Play tennis.
Play tennis. Spend time with them. If we want to walk with God, that means we need to spend time with Him. Boy, it seems like it keeps coming back no matter what Noah was doing. Being blameless or being righteous, it all revolves around spending time with His Heavenly Father. Dads, we need to spend time with our Heavenly Father. And we need to walk with Him. We can't be standing still. We need to be growing. We need to be learning more about Him. We need to be digging deeper in our faith. And we need to follow where God leads. We can't be the one walking where we want to go. We need to be following our Heavenly Father when we walk with Him. And then we get into a whole bunch of verses there in chapter 6 that talks about building the ark. We're not going to read those this morning. You can go home and read those. But I want to skip to verse 22 where it says, Noah did everything just as God commanded him. Guess what the seventh thing is, Dad? Seven thing we need to do, learn from Noah, is we need to be obedient to God. If God asks you to do something, you need to do it. If God asks you to spend time with your children, you need to do that. If God asks you to go visit somebody, you need to do that. And we need to have that relationship with our Father so that we understand when He's prompting us to do something. And I believe if we follow God to the best of our ability, you do your best to do what God wants you to do with your life, it's going to make a huge impact on your family. Your kids are going to notice. Imagine the influence that Noah had over his family. Seth, how would you feel if, or Seth and Brandon, you're both back there, if you had the same dad, and all you can remember your whole life is your dad was in the middle of nowhere building this huge boat, and you would get up every morning and you go out and help him build that boat. And your friends would say, what are you guys doing? Are you crazy? What's the point of, you're wasting your whole life. You've been doing this for 20 years now. How do you think you would feel? What would motivate you to keep going out there every day with your dad? You can respond to that. You'd have to know your dad pretty well. You have to have faith in your dad. You'd have to think pretty highly of your dad to do something like that. And can you imagine the things that the people probably said to Noah and about Noah? Boy, there goes that crazy old man again. What's he think he's... Can you just imagine? There's no water near this huge boat he's building. And yet, we don't know how long it took. Some scholars think 120 years when God said that man's days are numbered, that Noah might have started right away. Some people think that the boys were married, so maybe 50 years at the minimum. But it was years and years, and it could be he started before the kids were born. So that's all they would have known their whole life. I think Noah was pretty influential one as children, don't you? Noah was a special dad. I never really thought much about Noah as a dad. That was one of our devotions, I think this week or last week, talked a little bit about Noah and the influence he had on his kids. But he had to be a pretty special dad for those boys to help him every day for 50, 60, 70, 80 years of their lives. Maybe even 90 years. I think it mentions one of them was 98 when they went into the ark, one of the boys. Noah not only influenced his sons, but I believe he influenced his daughter-in-laws. And they had faith in Noah because they saw something in him that they didn't see in anyone else. I think they saw integrity. I think they saw morality. There wasn't much morality in the world from what we read, but they saw morality in their dad. I think they saw that he loved them. They saw that he was an honest man. They saw he was a man of his word. They saw a man that loved the Lord. And I had to think this morning, you know, dads, what do our kids think of us? What do they see in us when they look at us? This account of Noah, I want to end with chapter 7, verse 1. Where it says, "The Lord then said to Noah, go into the ark, you and your whole family, because I have found you righteous in this generation." Not only Noah, but his whole family was saved. All those years of laboring, building that ark, I think Noah was at peace, because even though everybody else in the world was destroyed, he was a man of God who followed God and loved the Lord, and he led his family, I believe, to the Lord, and he saved his family. What better example do we have in Scripture than Noah for us dads today to lead our families to the Lord and to an eternity with Jesus Christ? We're going to close. Instead of just normal benediction, I think we're going to ask John and Seth to come up. We're going to have a time of prayer with you, and that'll be our closing prayer. We want to pray for you before you go on your mission trip. So you can come up here and have a seat, and we'll ask